No, it's a Jew. It's a Hebrew word. Matrona means just mother. And so the heavenly Matrona is the New Jerusalem. So that's why the Talmud is full of, it says when the heavenly Matrona touches the earthly Matrona.
But Matrona is a Hebrew word, or is that a translation of the Hebrew word?
I don't know. But it's in the Talmud, so I mean,
kind of like matron and patron.
Yeah,
patrona and a matrona.
Yeah, I don't know what I haven't looked up the origin of the word. But the Talmud is full of it. When the heavenly matrona meets the earthly matrona, that's the beginning of the age of Messiah. That's what happened at Pentecost.
We studied that a little bit in Bible study last night.
Yeah, most of the comments about it are in the Talmud. All right, we're going to spend a few more minutes on this idea of we'll be persuaded. What is it going to take to persuade somebody? So let's go to Luke 17 and just see it. It's the last verse in Luke 16. Verse 6, chapter 16. Let's start in. This is the rich man discussion with Abraham. Well, let's just read the whole thing. And in verse 23, and in hell, he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And son Lazarus said to me, dip the tip of his tongue and tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, that they would also come unto the place of they would lest they also come to the place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, this sort of destroys the idea that somehow the New Testament and the Old Testament are different, or there's two covenants, the covenant of the law and the covenant of Christ. There's just one covenant. It's called the New Testament. It's the fulfillment of the one covenant. And so the idea that it's any different now regarding salvation, it isn't any different. Salvation is still the same from the time of Abel till now. And let's go to see that again. Let's go to...
what is then the age of Messiah you refer to? All of time?
In truth, the age of Messiah is all of time, but it became easier to see after Pentecost. But let's go to 2 Timothy. I think. Yeah, 2 Timothy. chapter 3, starting verse 14. but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, the only scriptures that they knew was what we call the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't even here yet. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the scriptures the purpose is to make one wise according to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now the seeing of Christ began with Abel, and that he saw the necessity for death to overcome the curse. And then it's continued on and on throughout time. If they believe not Moses and the prophets, they won't believe if one is raised from the dead. Well, this is the great lacking of the church. The church teaches, well, that's the old covenant. No, they're the same. One is fulfilled, one is fulfilled in metaphor or in pair patterns. Anybody want to talk about that?
Yeah, it just doesn't spring right because there are two covenants. It talks about a new and a better way. I mean, you're saying something different.
It isn't. Where does it say that there is a different covenant? No, there's one covenant, and it was fulfilled in Christ.
I know I've studied two covenants. I'm not prepared to point to them. But
well, I mean, just take that one verse. If they believe not Moses and the prophets, they won't believe. If they believe not Moses and the prophets, the one was raised from the dead, they won't believe.
But then what you read in Timothy.
Same thing.
But they talk about Christ Jesus.
That's Christ is the only. He's what people saw. They saw him in the covenants, just like I did, just like you did, I hope. When we studied the offerings and all the subtleties and aspects, we saw Christ.
Was it talked about different, like it was the Messiah they saw?
That's what Messiah is Christ. That's
Jesus
what
Christ. They saw Jesus Christ in the Old Testament.
Yes. That's what it says. Let's go to John 8. This is what I'm talking about here, of this idea of being persuaded. They will not be persuaded if they hear not Moses and the prophets. They will not be persuaded if they hear not Moses. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if one rose from the dead. So it makes it the same. Let's look at John 8. Then in verse 52, Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never see taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. You have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So did Elijah, so did Jeremiah, so did Daniel, so did...
So rejoice to see my day.
They see him. That's his day.
No, I don't doubt they saw him. That's really not the issue for me. But here, I think they saw forward in time to see the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ. I think that must have just confirmed their faith. I'm not sure what you're saying here, actually.
I'm saying there's only one covenant. That covenant was fulfilled in Christ before time began. And those who came to the end of themselves saw that. They saw the fulfillment of the covenant. And so the idea, there's not an Old Testament and a New Testament. There's a Testament and a fulfilled Testament. But the same Jesus is seen in the Old Testament that he's seen in the New Testament. I mean, that's what this whole section is about in Luke. Abraham saith unto them, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, if thou went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is. I didn't realize this until I, you know, studied so long and translated every word, and then it became apparent. There's not two covenants. There's only one. And Jesus fulfilled that covenant before the beginning of time. And those that saw that, saw eternity, saw this completion. I don't know why this is not apparent to everybody. What happens is people stop even looking at the Old Testament because they say, well, we have a New Testament. The Old Testament was the bad God. The New Testament's a good God. Essentially, I've heard preachers say that.
Yeah, it's not two different gods.
Not two different Christs either.
Yeah.
You remember Jesus? Yes. Jesus' word means save, and Christ means anointed. Yeshua HaMashiach, in Greek, Yeshua, that's where we get Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's look at some more. Let's go to Jeremiah. No, let's go to Psalm 132. (Clears throat) Start in verse 8. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy for thy servant David's sake. Turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David that he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne, and the children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them. Their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath designed it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall be his crown. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. Again, all about Jesus Christ. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded. No one rose from the dead. And what's the persuasion? What's the scene?
And then there's Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus.
Not that we studied that one already.
Right.
Well, let's look at it again. Luke 24, that's a good one.
I saw the snow outside.
Yeah, it started to snow again. Sleet, snow, sleet.
Where are we going, man?
Luke 24. This is where Luke and Cleophas were. And verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now, because Luke didn't mention his own name, just as Mark didn't mention his name as a young man when he fled naked from the Garden of Gethsemane, from Gethsemane anyway, because of their own humility. James, the brother of Jesus, doesn't say he's the brother of Jesus. Why? Because it would put attention to them.
Because why?
It would put attention on them.
All right.
Then in verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which are early at the sepulchre, when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They still didn't know who he was. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they didn't know him even when he said, all the scriptures are only concern him or about him. Their eyes were still holding until he broke the bread and blessed it. And they heard, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. And boom, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Hallelujah. But this is just one of many, many places that says that all the scriptures, all the Old Testament, all the prophets, all the Psalms, all the Proverbs, everything was about him. Not two covenants, one covenant. All right, now let's go to Jeremiah
23. Agreement.
And remember, the covenant, a contract. But when the covenant was made between, and this is the first time the covenant was revealed in flesh. It was revealed, if he saw it, at Abel. But the covenant required, if remember they took the animals and cut them in half, and then and this was done in the contract. This was the meaning of a contract. Then the two men walked the course of, it was a figure eight course they walked, so their feet touched the blood. And then they cut their hand a little bit and they shake their hand, so the blood's mixed. And they're saying, if either of us break the covenant, I will die. But this case, God put Abraham, or Abram at this point, to sleep. And God alone walked the covenant. It's mind-bending to think of this. He gave every chance to the flesh, and the flesh failed and it was finally over when they crucified him.
And that why put Abraham to sleep, that no flesh would be able to glory in.
Right. That predicted it, really, that no flesh could keep the covenant.
Right. And him knowing that, and so he let him walk it with him.
Yeah. Well, it revealed Christ in that covenant. God would have to have, in the person of his son, would die. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 33.
Did we read 23?
Oh, didn't we? Did we read 23? No, we didn't.
I don't think we did.
I thought we did. I start in verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So it's, again, it's the seed, the seed, the seed. The seed of Adam, to start with, which was mixed with the angels. So he protected that seed by the only ones that didn't have that blood mixed in there with them, supposedly were the ones that went into the ark. And he made a covenant with Noah. All it produced was massive idolatry and unrighteousness. Then he made a covenant with Abraham, and all it produced was idolatry. But all the covenants were really only a picture of one covenant. And it's always been the seed. The seed, his own arm, got him the victory through his own seed. Therefore, we are born from above, born from the first estate, just like everyone that saw him. All right. Well, let's go to one more. Ezekiel 34.
That phrase is not used in the Old Testament before the end. So there's a different way they express it.
They express the same thing.
But I mean, it's not mentioned in the Old Testament, born again. There's some other phraseology they...
Yeah, it says his seed, the seed of God, not the seed of Adam any longer. His own, he looked and there was no man, therefore his own right arm, his own seed got him the victory. Let's repeat it over and over. That's what born again is, his seed. Well, that's what it means to his seed. It means you're born again.
That would be what happened to Paul.
He was born, not again, that's a bad translation. He was born from above. born from the first estate, who's a new creature. The same thing happened to Abraham when it was Abram, and then he became Abraham because of the breath of God. Same thing happened to Jacob. He was Jacob, and even then no more Jacob, but Israel. Same thing happened to Isaac when he was on the mountain. Isaac didn't come down from the mountain. That's what it says. So, I mean, it's the same. It's just his seed got him the victory.
Yeah.
All right. Ezekiel 34. Well, we don't have time. We're already out of time here. We just have to a few more verses. And we'll start in the next chapter. We'll start in Luke 17 someday. Take it, big guy.